ever made any life or death decisions, he's thinking. You know, life or death decisions happen all the time, particularly in the medical field, right? There's decisions that are made regularly. Is this patient a candidate for a transplant? Is this medication we're going to give the person, is it going to harm them? Or should we remove life-saving treatment from this person as terminally ill? These are life or death decisions. And even in the military, in the battlefield, there are life or death decisions that happen all the time. But do you realize that many of the decisions that you make every day, that we make every day, are life or death decisions? And I'm going to explain that today. In fact, you probably are going to make some life or death decisions this afternoon. Every day we're faced with those decisions. So as we continue through our series in Romans chapter 8, open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at verses 5 to 8, but I'm going to begin reading from verses 1 through 8 and see how the Word of God has the power to impact the decisions that we make every day. So turn with me to the Word of God. Let's read together. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Love that verse. That wonderful promise. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. You know, last week we looked at the previous two verses and we saw that the law of God, and Paul writes frequently about the law of God, and the law of God doesn't go away when Jesus came. Because we believe in Jesus doesn't mean to say the law is completely gone, but when we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're actually empowered to fulfill the law. We're empowered to do the righteous requirements, to follow the righteous requirements of the law. We were able to do it because prior to having the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to follow and to do the righteous requirements of the law. When God gives us His Spirit, He writes His law on our hearts. We read this in Jeremiah 31 and Ezekiel 36. How God writes His law. And it's such an important part of being a Christian, of having that law written in our hearts. We don't fulfill the law perfectly, right? None of us are perfect. Those of you who were here last week, we're all sinners, right? But we're saved by grace, and God, by His Spirit, enables us to become more sensitive to the requirements of the law, become more sensitive to His righteous requirements, and then He enables us to follow His leading and His direction. We begin hating the things that God hates, and we're being transformed into the image of Christ. Our sinful flesh is what makes the law weak, right? It doesn't lead to holiness. The law doesn't have the power to create holiness in us. It can only reveal and condemn sin, but the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit leads us to love and obedience. And as Paul writes in Romans 7, we wrestle with that. Romans 7, remember we looked at that, but Paul's saying, these things that I hate to do, I keep doing them. The things that I want to do, I know I should do, but I try to do them, but I do the things I shouldn't do and I don't want to do, right? That wrestle. And if the Apostle Paul wrestles with that, how much more do we wrestle with that? But it's only by when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. We're Christ's ambassadors in our communities. As we saw last week, we're law carriers. We carry the presence of God in us. We bear the law of God with us, empowered by the Spirit of God. Is it just me? What's going on with my sound? Does the sound okay? I'm just echoing in my head. But the empowering, indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit enables us to walk in obedience to God. In other words, we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. Remember, Jesus said, all of the law and the prophets is encompassed in these two commandments. That's what we're talking about when we talk about the law. Do we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Do we love our neighbor as ourselves? We're law abiders, but only because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and the Spirit leads us, as we walk in the Spirit, we fulfill the righteous requirements of the law. Paul continues in verse 5. As we look at today, there's two kinds of people, he says. For those who live according to the flesh, their minds are set on the things of the flesh. But for those who live according to the Spirit, their minds set their minds on the things of the Spirit. There's two kinds of people. Those who dwell on, their minds are set on the things of the flesh, and those who dwell on and their minds are set on the things of the Spirit of God. It sounds similar to Paul when he wrote to the Galatian church, and he wrote in Galatians 5, and he said, if the things of the flesh, works of the flesh, idolatry, sexual immorality, jealousy, pride, division, gossip, all of these things and more, Paul lists and said, that's living according to the flesh. And then he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's the difference. It's living by the Spirit or living according to the flesh. And Paul drives this point home. He actually repeats this four times in these four verses that we looked at. He keeps going back to it, the contrast between the flesh and the Spirit. Four aspects of these, of living according to the flesh or living according to the Spirit. The first one, he says, what's your mindset? What do you dwell on? What do you think about? What is going on in our minds? Verse 5, twice he says, they set their minds. It's a mindset. It's a frame of mind. And last week we saw the believer has the Holy Spirit, right? We have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and the Holy Spirit writes the law of God in our hearts. The unbeliever, the person that does not have the Holy Spirit, is not led by the Holy Spirit. This is living according to the flesh. So that's the contrast that we have. The person thinks about how to satisfy their own desires. The unsaved person constantly thinks about, well, what's in it for me? When faced with a decision, when faced with a predicament, when faced with anything in life, the choice is, will this benefit me? Now, doesn't mean to say Christians don't think like that, right? We also think like that. We also struggle with that and those contrasting thoughts. But the person living in the flesh has a self-centered attitude. Your nature determines your mindset. If you're led by the Spirit, it determines your mindset. What you dwell on, what you think about, how you respond in situations. Our natural sinful self always looks at every decision and decides how to act based on what, how's it going to benefit me? Is this going to hurt me? Is this going to cause me to look good in other people's eyes? Will it benefit me? And it's really a question of what drives us. What are our ambitions? What drives our ambitions? What are the concerns that engross us? What are the things that consume our energy? What are we thinking about all the time? And the answer to these questions determines who we are. Or maybe the answer to these questions, a better way of saying it, is determines whose we are. Do we belong to Jesus Christ? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Spirit, your ambitions, your motivations, what drives you, your mindset will be to glorify God. Everything that you think about, decisions that you make, does this glorify God? Does it bring glory to the name of Jesus? We live for a higher calling. In John 16, Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit, speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, he says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Christian has the Spirit of God in us, in our lives, in an entirely new and different sphere. It's a different way of approaching the world and the decisions that we face in this world. Our minds are fixed on the Spirit. Now, do we do this perfectly? No, absolutely we don't. Doesn't mean to say that the unsaved person can never do anything good. Doesn't mean to say the Christian does everything right. Right? We're not perfect. But it's the bent. It's the natural bias of our lives. It's that natural inclination of our lives. One lives for the flesh and the other lives for the Spirit. So, what is this way of thinking, this mindset, what does it lead to? There are eternal consequences. There are eternal consequences to this way of thinking. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. So the unsaved person doesn't have the Spirit of God, is alive physically, right? Their heart's beating, they're breathing, they're still alive. They are alive. But the inner man is dead towards God. There's no spiritual life. There's no life and health. He lacks the spiritual life. He needs, Romans 8 verse 2, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what we all need. There are eternal consequences to our mindset. The mind of the unsaved man leads him to death and eternal separation from God in hell. That's the eternal death. It doesn't matter how many good things the unsaved person does. And this is something we forget, people don't like to talk about. It doesn't matter how many millions of trees you plant to help the environment. It doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you give to poor people, how many schools you start, how many hospitals you start. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're eternally separated from God. You're spiritually dead. But the person whose mind is set on the things of the Spirit, the person who has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, has life and peace. Now, it doesn't mean to say the Christian never has trouble, right? Jesus even said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome this world. We will have trouble, but we can experience life and peace because we know the one who has overcome the world. So the person whose mind is set on the Spirit has peace with God. Paul writes about this earlier in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having that peace with God, that's the eternal security we have. We know we're saved. We know where we're going. We sang about it earlier. Looking forward to that day when Jesus comes again. Looking forward to being able to stand in a crowd around the throne and shout, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We look forward to that day. We can weather the storms and the troubles of this life now because we know we have peace with God. You know, this is more than simply getting through life in order to get to heaven. A lot of people, when they're saved, they're like, man, if I can just hold it together until I die and then I'll get to heaven. I'll just try to not mess up too badly. No, eternal life begins the moment you're saved. And that joy, that peace, that life that God has for you, that abundant life that Jesus paid for, we read about in John 10:10, is available now. Jesus came to give us abundant life. That's truly living. Are we alive? And you know, every decision we make affects that abundant life. The simple decisions is, what am I watching on TV? What podcasts am I listening to? What websites am I viewing? How do I spend my time? How to spend my money? All of these choices lead to life or death. These decisions determine our pursuit of holiness. Moses, when he was about to die, he was about to hand over the leadership of the nation of Israel to Joshua. And he had taken the nation of Israel through the wilderness, through the 40 years, and he brought them to Moab, and they were about to enter into the promised land, and God said, you're not going, you're going to die here. So Moses knew that, and he wanted to impart some wisdom, and he wanted to give them, and a lot of the book of Deuteronomy is actually the last portion of Deuteronomy is all about Moses giving a covenant with the people, kind of reinstating the covenant again with the people, with God, the children of God. And he says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. It was life or death. They had a choice. They had a choice to make. And we all have choices to make. Life or death. Then the third aspect of living in the flesh is that we're enemies of God. Again, one of the four aspects of living in the flesh or living in the spirit. The third one is verse 7, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It's basically at war with God or at peace with God. Our mindset, what we think about, what we dwell on fundamentally affects our attitude towards God. This verse says, if we have our mindset on the flesh, on our sinful nature, we're hostile towards God. We're at war with God. And, you know, we think about that as well. You don't intentionally go to war against God, right? But it affects what we think about. It affects how we think about God's church. How do we love the church? Do we love the bride of Christ? Do we care for the believers in the church? Surely, they annoy us from time to time. We struggle with one another, but do we love one another? Do we honor the body of Christ? How do we view the name of God? Do we take his name in vain? Do we love him? How do we view his word? Do we value his word? Do we read his word? Meditate on his word? Allow it to speak to us? How do we honor the Holy Spirit? Do we grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives? Also, Paul wrote that the person who is hostile to God does not submit to the law of God. Actually, he cannot. The person who is living in the flesh is unable to submit to the law of God. We saw that last week. We can only obey God. We can only truly worship and love God if we have the Holy Spirit in our lives. The unsaved person cannot submit to God's law. It's impossible. And then fourthly, the purpose is to please God. Not only are those living according to the flesh at war with God, they're also totally unable to please God. Verse 8 says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible to please God. We're living in the flesh means to be lost. It means outside of Christ. The unsaved person lives to please himself, really thinking about God, really thinking about how to please God. The root of sin is selfishness. It's pride. That's the root of all sin. So how do we please God? How do we please God? We think, well, it's a list of things to do, right, to please God. No, it's you don't necessarily please God by coming to church. You don't please God by giving to the church. You don't necessarily please God by reading your Bible. The Bible says there's one way to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Pleasing God begins with saving faith, putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. It begins there, and then is the living faith of living that out, daily walking by faith, trusting God. That's living faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. When we daily walk by faith. I wasn't going to share this, but I was just thinking about it in the early service when about 2 months ago now, we all shared with you how Debbie's cut her tube by accident, And we were faced with a decision. Do we go to the hospital and have them put a new feeding tube in, or felt the Lord saying, jump off the cliff? That's living by faith. Now, I don't recommend you do it unless God tells you to do it, right? If God directs you to do something, it pleases him when you obey him. Sometimes obeying him looks crazy to the world around us. Sometimes obeying him doesn't make any logical sense. When Debbie couldn't swallow, and we said, well, we're going to take the tube out and trust that you're going to begin eating. Right? That's, again, we're not heroes of faith by any means. It was in a terrible desperation. But God is pleased when we walk in faith, when we trust him. So two questions as we close. Are you alive or are you dead? That's the first question. Are you in the flesh or in the spirit? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know the peace of God that passes understanding? And if not today, I invite you, come speak to me or speak to one of the people that greeted you this morning. We'd love to introduce you to your relationship with Jesus. The second question is, you may be a believer here today, but are you alive? Are you fully alive? Are you making choices that lead to life? If you're a follower of Jesus, you and I should look different to the world around us. If the only difference that the world sees in you and me is that our Sunday morning schedule is slightly different to everybody else, then we have a problem, right? Are our lifestyles different? Are our choices different? Being led by the Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, affects every aspect of our lives. The choices regarding what we do with our free time, what we do with our money, what we listen to, what we watch, our language, the jokes that we share, the jokes that we laugh at, how we treat the poor. It should make us look different to the world around us. In fact, it should make us look a little odd. The problem is we don't like being odd, do we? We like to fit in. We like to fit in with the crowd. Nobody wants to stand out and look odd. Well, some people do, but I don't. Right? But if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to make choices that the world says, that's a little odd. You don't fit in. That's the difference between living by the Spirit and living for the flesh. Not feeding the sinful self. Not living the way God intended, though. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have life, life abundantly. Why do we settle for less? Why do we settle for less than what Jesus intends for us? Making choices that lead to death. Some of you, I know not many of you were alive at this time, but I don't know if there's anyone who remembers the election in 1948 where Dewey lost to Truman, that famous election, right? It was such a shock that everybody thought Dewey was going to win. And afterwards, Dewey made this famous quote. He said, I felt like the man who woke up to find himself in a coffin with a lily in his hand and thought, if I'm alive, what am I doing here? And if I'm dead, why do I have to go to the bathroom? But too many people are living dead. We're alive, right? Physically, we're alive, but we're not fully alive in the Spirit. We're not living fully alive. We're reacting to the world rather than influencing the world. Oh, excuse me. A real fulfilling life is found in a deliberate, conscious decision to follow Christ. And then growing in our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. As we grow in our sensitivity to the direction, the leading, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we live fully alive in Christ. It starts by acknowledging our position. It starts by knowing who we are, but also what is our relationship with the Lord? What is our life as we stand before the Lord? You know, David knew the secret to this. And we all, I think, need to do this daily. There's a prayer that David prayed in Psalm 139. It's such a great prayer for all of us daily. Search me, O God, and know my thought. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, Lord, reveal to me where I'm not fully alive. Reveal to me those choices that I'm making that are killing me, those choices that are making me that are less than what you paid for, the abundant life that you paid for. And we pray that daily. I encourage you to pray that daily. Allow the Holy Spirit to reveal areas in our lives that need correction. There's areas in our lives that we need to repent of. We all have them. As we all sit here today, none of us can say, well, there's nothing in my life that I need to repent of, right? And as we invite the Holy Spirit's scrutiny into our lives, He reveals those things, those thoughts, that bitterness maybe that we're holding on to, that grief that we're holding on to, those things that we're holding against somebody else. And as we repent, it leads to life and peace. Verse 6, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. You know, Joshua, in Joshua chapter 24, so Moses handed over the leadership to Joshua, and then they went across the Jordan into the promised land, and God gave them the land, but they didn't do it exactly as God had ordered them to do. But in Joshua 23, we read, after a long time, so they've been in the land for quite a long time, Joshua is about to die, so he gathers all of the leaders together, the tribal leaders together, the nations together, and he gives them, again, a commission, a covenant, and encouraging them. And he warns them not to forget the blessings of God. Because we have the tendency to forget the blessings and the promises of God, the warnings of God. We forget the promises of God. He reminds them of their history. He reminds them that God has blessed them by removing all the enemies out of the land. They had forgotten that. But many in the nation had already begun to worship the idols of the nations that were in the land before them, worshiping false gods and forgetting the one true God. And the nation faced a choice. It's life or death. You choose. Joshua said this in verse 14 and 15 of Joshua 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What we dwell on makes a difference. What we think about makes a difference. What you set your mind to affects your life in ways that we don't even comprehend. Just think about one example. Going down that rabbit hole of social media, it's a rabbit hole that'll just take you to dark places. It's not good. And it's not merely wasting time, it's a choice. I want to say it's a choice of life or death, because it leads to death. You know, sometimes when you wake up after having watched a bunch of YouTube shorts, I share with Greg, this is one of the things that I struggle with, is just kind of looking at different shorts, whether it's on cycling or motor racing or whatever, and then you lift up your eyes and you're like, oh man, my brain is fried, right? That's death. It leads to death. It's not good for us. What we dwell on makes a difference. Obviously, the big one in our culture is viewing pornography. Viewing pornography is not simply a distraction. It's not simply a distraction or a bad habit. It's life or death. In fact, more decisions than we care to admit are life and death decisions. Does the path that this lead to, does it lead to life or does it lead to death? It's a process of renewing our minds daily. That's the key. Romans 12, Paul writes, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect." Are we allowing the Holy Spirit to renew our minds daily? Are you fully alive? Are we living by the Spirit? Are you making choices that produce life, led by the Spirit? Or are you making choices that lead to death? So as we close, I want to invite the worship team and the ministry team to come up. And we're going to just spend some time waiting on the Lord. And I want to invite you just to pray where you're seated. And if the Lord leads you to respond that you'd like prayer for something, our team will be up here. But what I want us to do is just to close our eyes and pause and allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction. If there's an area that we need to repent of, there's something that we need to deal with, and deal with that today between you and the Lord. So let's close our eyes. Just bow your heads where you are, and let's pray. And then as the worship team leads, I'm going to step out the way, and Eric's going to come up, but I just want to invite you just to spend a few moments just allowing the Holy Spirit to search us, and we respond. Search us, O God, and know our thoughts. Try us, know our thoughts, and see if there's any grievous, wicked way in us. And lead us in the way everlasting. Lord, we thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. And I pray that you would lead us to life. Lead us to the abundant life that you paid for on the cross, that you promised us. So often, Lord, we choose to not walk in life. We choose a path that leads to death. I pray, Lord, that you would just bring conviction. But we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise of your word. It says that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May your peace rest on us today.